those of us that remain, we're going to go to the word of the Lord, scripture found in Matthew, verse 13 and 3, where the scripture says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold," he said, "a sower went forth to sow." And then in verses 18 through 23, "Hear therefore the parable of the sower." And this is the interpretation thereof, of all the parable stuff and the sower, what have you. "When anyone hears the word of the Lord," or the word of the kingdom, "and they understand it not," they just don't get it, "then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." Now say with me, think with me. It's amazing how that you take a young person, for instance, the only one in their family that finds truth, finds the church, begins to worship God. They're so thrilled and happy and excited, they don't know what to do with themselves. And it only takes about, well, just a short time for moms and dads and friends and family members to take it all away from them. I've heard in the past parents and grandparents that would say things, "I'd rather for you to be on drugs than go to that church." People that suddenly get an experience with God, but they don't have a foundation built yet so that they can build upon that, and that they can let everybody know what I'm doing is right. And so the word is not there. It's not deep. And they don't get it, and they don't comprehend and understand it, and they're caught away. The word that was sown in the heart, "This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside." I want everybody to say, we can prevent that. Very good. "But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and along the way," that's what anon means, "with joy they receive it." With joy they receive it. "Yet hath he not root in himself." This is an individual, much like the first one, that doesn't comprehend the word as of yet. This individual hasn't grown roots in the word yet. Amen. I want everybody to say, but we can help that. Amen. "And they endure for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended." Amen. We can fix that. Hallelujah. And so it is. The word of God says, "He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches that chokes out the word, and he becometh unfruitful." It's not a lot of help in the kingdom. Somebody say, we can prevent that. Amen. Beautiful. All right, now before we're seated, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 7. The word says, "So then neither is he that planteth anything." In other words, plant the seed. "Neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." This is not a message to the lost. This is a message to you and I. He that planteth is still not anything. It's just, we're not after bragging rights. We're not after position. We're not after prestige. We're just trying to win souls. Somebody say amen. And that's it. "Neither he that watereth," they're not anything as well. Amen. The Lord is not cutting us down. He's just letting us know he is the one that provides the increase. And so we're out reaching out to anyone that we possibly can so that he can provide the increase. That's why the Bible said the Lord addeth to the church such daily such as should be saved. In other words, he's not planting. We plant. He's not necessarily watering. We do the watering. But he provides the increase. So those people, I've said it many times, those people that we invite, people we ask, may not even show up. Brother James Gass was so excited a while ago. He told me, he said, I've got three people coming with several others that promised. Now, I'm not going to shoot that down and be negative or derogatory about that. But peradventure, none of them show up. But all of a sudden, Brother Bailey's got 50 guests that he knows that are here, and he didn't even ask 50 people. What's going on? Well, the one that planted and the one that now has to water are nothing. God was the one that provided the increase. However, Brother James, you had a huge role in what God did. Brother Bailey now has a big role in what God is up to. But God is still providing the increase. It may not have happened had you not done what you done. Do you get what I'm saying? So we can't look at it like these are mine. I brought these. These people promised me. In other words, don't set yourself up for a big letdown, because it's all about the church in general. It's about everybody. I just know this, that when we all work, God provides the increase, no matter who it is. Does that make sense? And so I want to talk to you about something here tonight. Even though it may not seem like it to some folks, to others, you're going to get it. But I'm just telling you, we're in the world. We're not of the world. And this world is a hard place. And so what we're doing is this. We're planting in hard places. We're planting in hard places. Now, I wish I could say that this is the first time I've spoke on this subject, but it's not. I remember preaching it in Montana, very close to an Indian reservation. And that district came together, and they flew me in to speak to them in a high school auditorium. And this is the message that I shared with them. Planting in hard places. It don't get tougher than way, way out west, where it's vast and open plains, and you've got people planting the seed of the gospel. And as I spoke this word, you could see the tears in their eyes. And it's almost like you could see the spiritual calluses. You could see the roughness on their faces where they've endured hardness like good soldiers. But yet they were still in the fight. And I just wanted to boost their morale. I just wanted to give them a high five and a knuckle. And I just wanted to let them know, we know what you're doing, the ones over in civilization. And we know you're planting in hard places. But yet, so are we. It's not as vast. But hearts are hard. Minds are not geared socially for spirituality. But the job is getting done because we continue to plant and we continue to water, and God continues to provide the increase. Amen. Holy Ghost, help us tonight in Jesus' name as we go into the Word of the Lord and share with people that are concerned and passionate for family, friends, and loved ones, and co-workers, and people that need you so desperately. In the name of Jesus, and everybody shouted amen. God bless you. You're seated just now. Amen. Planting in hard places. Amen. There's thorns stopping them. There's stony places, and there's dry places, and then there's those that don't go real deep with the roots and what have you. But we can help that. Amen. We're moving and morphing into the year 2020, and we're getting very close. And so we're gonna have a theme in the whole nine yards, because we want to get our focus right. We want a 2020 vision. And so we're just going to believe God. I don't want to spoil our watch night service sermon or anything like that, but I just want to let you know in advance that we're going to get a grip on somebody. And the reason I need to speak about that tonight is because Friend Day, Family Day is coming. And I'm telling you, by the reports that I'm getting, we're going to have a bunch of guests and visitors. Amen. One person reached out to a longtime backslider, and she said, "I'll be there." And she was so excited about it, she got the information to her dad, and he said, "I've been looking for a church, and I'm going to be there." And it just goes on and on. So what I'm challenging the church to do, and it's what I'm going to challenge our department heads and leadership to do Thursday night in our SALT meeting, and that is to disciple somebody. Amen. So we're going to sow the seed, right? We're going to water the seed. Am I correct? And so what we're going to do after that is we're going to maintain the individual that we're sowing to and that we're watering. What I'm saying is, let's not just give them a track and walk away. Let's not just give them a 1 hour Bible study and walk away. Let's not just give them a 10, 12 week Bible study and walk away. But let us stay with them. Amen. Now, one of my Bible studies is seated with us here tonight. And so Cody's going to understand what's going on when I refuse to let him go next year. Amen. He's going to be like, "Pastor is in my grill every week, you know?" Amen. Because I'm going to do more than just preach to him on Sunday and teach to him on Tuesday night. We're going to talk about this stuff during the week, and we're going to associate, and we're going to go through the Word. Amen. So that his roots can grow deep. So that the spirit part of it can grow wide and deep. And so that there's plenty of water there, and there's plenty of root. And so that when others come against him, amen, everybody, when people get in Landmark and begin to live for God, everybody out there becomes a Bible scholar to tell you how come you shouldn't come to church here. Amen. But I'm telling you, I'm going to make you a Bible scholar, and you're going to be able to tell them why they should be here. Amen. And it does, what we're going to do is we're going to grab somebody this year, this new year, and we're going to disciple them. We're going to stay with them. We're going to hang with them. Amen. And this is not a factory where you stamp one and it passes. You stamp another and it passes. It doesn't happen that easy. Amen. And so we're going to work this, and we're going to make this work. And the Lord is going to, somebody say, provide the increase. Amen. And so what he's going to do is he's going to step up his step, praise God, because we're going to have more people sowing seed, and we're going to have more people discipling others. And so Friend Day is going to be the greatest day of all, that we can choose who it's going to be that we're going to maintain and disciple throughout the next year. Am I correct? Your guest, your visitor, someone that you didn't even bring perhaps, that you're going to meet, you two just click it off, and it happens. And so, you know, maybe I'll bring somebody that's full of technology knowledge. When we get together, there is nothing for us to talk about. But someone else is going to make connection with them, and it's going to click. And so you know right then, hey, this is only God. This is a God thing. And so I'm going to keep this going, amen, until they're rooted and grounded and able to defend themselves in the Word of God. You're going to bring somebody, Mr. Technology, amen, and Mr. Computer Whiz, or whatever you may be, and you're going to bring somebody, and they're going to want to talk fishing and hunting. That's when you're going to have to bring them to me, hallelujah, or one of these other big-time hunters and fishermen or outdoorsmen and all of that. In other words, we're going to gravitate to somebody after this weekend, amen. Do not even begin to feel like it was a coincidence. It's going to be a God thing. And so do not let them just simply pass you by. But stay connected. Get numbers. Make a reason to call. Make a reason to get a 1-hour Bible study. Make a reason to start a 10-week Bible study. After that, continue to follow up on them. Meet with them. Talk with them. Go to a restaurant. Have coffee with them. Amen. And let's win somebody this new year. All right. Praise God, man. I feel like we're fixing to break for fellowship and black eyed peas or something. Amen. I'm just excited about the new year coming. Amen. And what we're all going to, listen, what would this church be if everyone seated in here tonight won one? And I'm telling you, it would be so simple and easy to do. All you've got to do is make a friend. Because I'm telling you, if there is one thing this world lacks, and that is real friends. Out there, let the money run out and find out how many friends you got. Right? All right. Amen. So before Jesus returned to heaven, he instructed his followers to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And soon he would send his Holy Ghost to empower them to establish his church. But first, it was in Jerusalem. Now, why was it in Jerusalem? Because I believe Jerusalem was probably the most difficult place to start. Not just another church, but the first church. Everybody say the first church. Thus making the planning of an apostolic church many times over as hard. Because this is the first church they're trying to plant here. We, at the least, have a pattern. Theirs was the first one, the first pattern. We also have a promise that upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's why if the church of the living God fails, it's got to be an inside job. There is no one to blame if the church is not successful except the ones on the inside of that church. The world didn't start this thing, and the world is not going to finish this thing. Jesus started it and supplied the increase. We are that increase. So now what are we supposed to do? Somebody say sow and water. Amen. And that's what we're going to do. Amen. We can say, yeah, devil, we're going to have a church just like the church in Jerusalem. But they couldn't say just like anything because it was the first church. That's planting in hard places. And that's the reason I believe that the Lord decided to start right there in Jerusalem. Why not start this church in Galilee? This is where the multitudes followed the Lord and some of his most notable miracles took place. Instead, his followers were told to begin in Jerusalem, the very city that Jesus wept over because they did not recognize their hour of visitation. It was where Pilate's hall was, the floggings, the cross, the blood, where evil was called good by the name of Barabbas, and good was called evil by the name of Jesus Christ. He started his church in Jerusalem because he wanted his people to know, if I can start a church in Jerusalem, I can start a church anywhere. And if God can start a church in Jerusalem, he can raise up a great church in Lexington, North Carolina. Build a church. Add on to a church anywhere. Give a church revival. He can do it anywhere. Give a church growth anywhere. The pattern has been set. The rules have been set. I will. It's what Jesus said. He said, I will. And hell will not. I like that. Amen. I got to take the time right here to ask Abraham something. Even the scripture says it. Abraham, is anything too hard for God? Hey, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Noah, can God make it rain in a dry place? Moses, do you want to deliver my people? Are you ready? Let's go. Amen. These guys had a choice. Amen. Do what I tell you without all the details or pack up your toys and go home. But if your answer is right, then the Lord was saying, me and you, we got a good thing going. Amen. So they didn't pack up their toys and go home. They trusted, they believed, and they followed after God. And we know about their success stories. Jesus told his boys to go over there and get me that donkey. His triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He was preparing for it. And he told them, he said, I want you to go get me that donkey. And he said, oh, by the way, he's never been ridden. No one's ever ridden him. But incidentally, I have never been thrown. So there ain't no donkey going to throw me now. Listen, we got to comprehend who we're serving here. We got to realize who we're chasing after and who we want to see in the kingdom of God. He made this thing and he did not make a mistake. So there's never anything that's not been ridden that he can't ride. Amen. Jesus told him, hey, I'm just saying, you thought your place and this your position in this church, your leadership position, whatever you may be, your assignment from the Lord to witness on your job and to tell others wherever it may be by the commander in chief, you think that what he told you to do was a mistake. In other words, Lord, instead of a vision or a calling, maybe I had a bad dream. No, you just forgot to recognize that he rides the wild horses. He breaks out an apostolic revival. He rides on the stormy winds. He speaks, peace be still. Instead of strategizing, we need to be agonizing in gut-ripping prayer. That's a call to the cosmic cowboy. It don't matter if it ain't been rode, cause he ain't never been throwed. Forgive my vernacular there, but I was in Montana when I preached that. I'm just telling you, amen. We've got this if we understand who we've got this with. Does anybody want to take the challenge and believe God for revival in our city? In a magnitude that we have never seen. Amen. Jesus was broken, yet for a different reason. It was for our example. Blessed, broken, and given. Amen. Number two, we need to fall out of fear and fall absolutely in love. Amen. Praise God. I know it's probably getting monotonous. It's probably getting mundane. But you've got to comprehend something. I'm going to share it with you. I'll share it with my Bible study people. Because you're concerned. You're just as concerned as I am. You're just as passionate about people's growth and their maturity in God as I am. There's still those that have been with us for years that still have a blank look on their face when I'm preaching to them on Sundays and trying to reach to them and get them and shake them and just don't get tired of me. Don't get bored with me. Rally with me. I want everybody on the very same page. Amen. I'd love to see young people worship God that don't worship God. I would love to see adults on here Tuesday night that never come on Tuesday night. I would love to see. If there was 1,000 people here tonight and there was that one that only still comes on Sunday, you'd still have to put up with me because I want everybody on the same page. I want everybody enjoying revival and being a part of what we're doing to make it happen. Does that make sense? Amen. I hope it does. Amen. Because I'm going to do it anyway and I just want it to make sense to you is the reason why I keep pushing and pulling and tugging and making it. Amen. We're not here for girlfriends and boyfriends. We're not here for finances. We're not here just for blessing. We're here for God's anointing to fall on us and we find our places and we stand our ground and we make it happen for the glory of God. Amen. And so that's what I'm up to. That's what I'm all about. But we're gaining ground. We are gaining ground, and God is making it happen. So we've got to fall out of fear, and we've got to fall in love. Healthy hate and a healthy love as well. Amen. Number three, discipline yourself to a spiritual routine. We've got to do this. We've got to make some godly habits. Amen. Consistent exercise makes a person strong. We know that. Amen. But if you don't exercise your spiritual activity, your prayer, your Bible reading, your fastings, and your consistency in the church and reaching out to others, if you don't maintain that, then, you know, I know that every now and then the old saying says, even a blind hog finds a good acorn every now and then. Amen. Good things will happen on occasion and every now and then, but you know what we need? We don't need somebody that can just win once. We need somebody that will be a winner 24/7. That the constant soul winning is over and over. The constant miracles, signs, and wonders is over and over and over. And the miracles at your hand they continue to happen over and over and over. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the root word for routine is simply root. Amen. We got to follow the right route. And you know what I've always said, Route 66 is a great start. 66 books in the Bible. I hope many of you, if not all of you, are past the Old Testament and a good ways in the New right now for this year. Because every book is important. Follow Jesus. He's the root of David. Amen. A young person leaned into my office several years back and said, "Pastor, I read today it takes 21 days to start a new habit." I think it was that night that I let a child lead our church into a groundbreaking, earth-shattering breakthrough. Because I found out that night where the Bible says a child shall lead them, a very young person taught her pastor that if you'll do things right, and do them over and over and over, that you're going to develop godly habits and great things are going to transpire and take place. Amen. Good habits are hard to start. Bad habits are hard to stop. But that's what we're going to do nonetheless. We're going to stop the bad ones and we're going to start the good ones. Amen. And then there is the refiner of silver. Look at Malachi 3:3 with me. Amen. This is Bible study night. By the time I got here, I was so fired up in Montana, there was a blaze all over the place, man. Praise God. I had tumbleweeds running all over the place. I was just having a good time. And they were too. But I wanted to teach this to you tonight. I wanted to share it to you slowly so it can sink in and we can absorb. After that meeting, I had pastors come to me and they said, "Preacher, you said some good things, but I could tell you really wanted to say a lot more." I said, "Yes, sir. I had a lot more I wanted to share, but you can just share so much." And so we look forward to going back maybe sometime. But the Bible says in Malachi 3:3, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." Somebody say, purifier of silver. Purifier of silver. How many of you know how to tell when silver has been purified? Don't feel bad, because before I read all about this, I didn't know either. But I found it, and I needed it. And now I have it, and I give it to you. And the Bible said, "He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver." How do you know gold is purged? How do you know silver is refined? "That they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. He will sit as a refiner and the purifier of silver. One the story that I read and where I heard about all of this was a woman heard about this story and offered to find out the process of refining silver and to get back to a certain group at their Bible study the next week. That week, the woman called a silversmith and made an appointment to watch him at work. She didn't mention anything about the reason for her interest beyond her curiosity about the process of refining silver. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were hottest as to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she thought again about the verse that says, He sits as a refiner and a purifier of silver. She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered, yes. He not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment. And then she asked the silversmith, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? And then he smiled and he said, that's easy when I can look at the silver and I can see myself. It's done. You see why I saved it. Jesus is the refiner of silver. And he will, it's going to come. Trouble, trial, tribulation, everything that can knock you around. When we stand before judgment, we're going to make it, but we're going to be scarred and marred because we've been refined, remade, new creature. And when he can see himself, when he refines us, it's silver. Amen. And so that, ladies and gentlemen, is what our goal is in helping others. We want to assist them while God is working on them. When they're hovering over the flames, when they're feeling the pain, when they're suffering from whatever comes against them, as the Word of God shared with us at our very beginning, we need to comprehend they need somebody to talk to. They need somebody to lean on. We don't have all the answers. God does. We know that. But we also know that the Lord just does not pour out all the answers at once. And so if they had somebody, a comrade at arms, they could walk with through the process. You know what I feel? I feel they're going to be all right. Can I get real personal and up close to you? Can I put my arm around your shoulder and whisper in your ear? Whatever you do, don't get in their business. Don't get in their business. Don't milk them of their stories and why they're in trouble or what they're all worried about and frustrated. Let them tell you that if they want to. But if they don't want to, let them feel that they don't have to. Thank you. Thank you. Because once you make people dig into stuff like that, that is already under the blood, they're pulling it back out from underneath the blood, and they're feeling the pain and the shame all over again. Just be a friend. Do not judge them. Do not be callous with them. Do not be hard on them. The Lord will provide their increase. We just want to keep them here for the process of time. Can we do that? The Word of God will change people. It changed you. The Word of God changed me. So the Word of God is capable of taking care of all those needs. People just need somebody to care for them. They need people to respect them and appreciate them. Amen. I'll preach the word. I promise you that. And if there's a need to be blunt, I'll take them off to the side and I'll discuss things with them. Amen. As their pastor. Praise the Lord. But you got the right job, and that is to be their friend. Amen. If today you're feeling the heat of the fire, I want you to remember that God has his eyes on you, and he'll keep watching you until he sees his image. I want him to see his image in me. And if it's not quite there, I want him to keep the fire going. Amen. You have people that walk with you. If you do, raise your hand. Yeah. You have people, you've got friends here. You got cohorts that, you know, I mean, listen, there's no matter what you do, you got people that still love you like they've always loved you. Mind-blowing, isn't it? But it's true. That's what every one of them are going to need when they come. The same thing that you've gotten. The same thing that I have. Amen. Somebody say it's only fair. Amen. Praise God. It's hard sometimes when God continues to make something in his image. Until the Lord returns, I want us to keep praying for a move of God in these hard places. He will send laborers. Remember that even in difficult fields, there's good soil. We must be faithful to sow and water the seed. And as we stand, let's remember, God will provide the increase. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What do we always say? God's Spirit, my hands. The Holy Ghost, my feet. Amen. We're going to do the reaching. God's going to provide the increase. We're going to do all the love. We're going to do all the friendship. Everything that a good Christian should do, God will provide the increase. Anybody on board? Why don't we just raise both hands and thank God for the word. Thank the Lord. Jesus, we're planting in hard places. But we're not going to leave those places until they become soil that is best for the Master's use. Holy Ghost, a scripture comes to my mind where it says, break up your fallow ground and sow seeds that are righteous. Holy Ghost, that's exactly what we want to do for the glory of God, so you can provide increase. Touch every heart right here, right now, with the mantle of anointing and the calling to be a soul winner. To be an individual that will mentor and teach and share and show, hallelujah, people how to walk in this way and how to worship and praise you and how to endure and how everything's going to be all right. It's all going to come together. Just keep praying and believing. And you've got friends that are going to continue to pray and believe with you. We're coming side by side here. And we're lifting one another up. And we're going to have revival. Church growth. Amen. God's going to provide the increase. And the bigger it gets, the better it's going to be, and the more we're going to love it. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. God bless you. You're dismissed tonight. Shake hands and be friendly. And let's bring somebody to Friend Day.